the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, tonight we sing another great Advent hymn, and it's on the back of your white sheet tonight. It comes from the pen of Johann Rowe, a Czech pastor who supported the Lutheran Reformation. In the hymn, Once He Came in Blessing, Rowe emphasizes the three tenses of the season of Advent: past, present, and future. Past. Well, that's Jesus, of course, coming at Bethlehem, Good Friday and Easter Sunday to win your salvation. Present. Well, that's Jesus coming to you in his word of the gospel, in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, to give you the forgiveness that he won for you on Good Friday. And future? That's, of course, when Jesus reveals himself to you and the world in glory to judge the living and the dead on the last day. We sing stanza one. Christian preaching and high pastoral care does not begin way up there at the top, as other religions do, as if God is stuck way up there in the sky and you've got to travel way up there to get to him. Instead, Christian preaching and Christian pastoral care begins way down here on the earth at the bottom with Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us. Where is God for you and for your salvation? Is he way up there? No, he's way down here. All the way down here on the earth, in the Virgin Mary's womb, laying in the manger, born at Bethlehem, growing up at Nazareth, diapers being changed by Mary's hands, nursed at her breasts, preaching for 3 years, suffering and being put to death by Pontius Pilate, coming out of the grave victorious on the third day, ascending to the Father's right hand to reign as king among his redeemed sinners. Yeah, so the first stanza that we sang, the hymn began way down here, the past of Bethlehem's birth and Calvary's cross. Once he came in blessing, all our sins addressing, came in likeness lowly, Son of God most holy, bore the cross to save us, hope and freedom gave us. Yeah, Jesus does the absolute incredible, doesn't he? He does the impossible. God becomes man. He lowers himself into our humanity in order to address the carnage that our sin has brought. He dies with all of our sin in his body. He takes your sin. It doesn't belong to you anymore because it now belongs to him. And so Jesus doesn't count your sin against you anymore because he bore it in his body for you on the cross to give you hope and freedom as his forgiven people. We sing stanzas 2 and 3.
From our food.
So the hymn there just spoke of our Lord's coming to us in the now, in the present. And even in the present, he's still a way down here on earth, God, for you and for me. Still he comes within us, still his voice would win us from the sins that hurt us, would to truth convert us from our foolish errors, or else he'll come in terror. Brothers and sisters, the New Testament categorically declares that now is the time of God's favor. We heard it earlier in the reading. Now is the time of God's favor. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is Advent's present tense. We not only recall during the season of Advent that Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago, but we also rejoice that he comes today with the truth of the gospel to convert you. He comes to you with his divine name, and by giving you his name in the water of holy baptism, he washes away the sins that would hurt you. Jesus himself promises in Mark 16, you believe and you're baptized, you're saved. Speaking of your baptism in Jesus' name, Paul says in Titus 3 that God saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, if you're not baptized, the present tense of Advent is receive holy baptism and be saved. Now is the time. Don't put it off any longer. The present tense of Advent is also revealed in the preaching of the gospel. In the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins, Jesus is physically present, reigning among sinners, and you are actually hearing his living voice. In the spoken word of absolution, Jesus is telling you, be of good cheer, my friends. Your sin, it's forgiven. And it is, because he died bearing the damnation of all your sin on the cross. With all the authority given to him in heaven and on earth, Jesus gives exactly what he says. You are forgiven. And that's what he promises in the now. And so too in the Lord's Supper. Believe now what he promises, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. And I'm here to tell you categorically, that where there's forgiveness of sins, you have life and you have salvation. And so the hymn correctly strikes a note of urgency, just as the scripture does itself. There's no dilly-dallying anymore, folks. Today is the day of God's favor. Today is the day of God's grace. I beg you, do not put off believing in Jesus. Do not put off being baptized. Do not purposely live outside of your baptism. Do not neglect the divine gifts of Holy Communion. Do not blow off the preaching of the Holy Gospel. Why not? I'll tell you why not. Because there will be a last day. And when that day comes, you won't have any time to repent and believe. On the last day, there will be no more chance to get baptized. There will be no more chance to hear the preaching of the gospel. There will never be another chance on the last day to come and eat and drink the Lord's body and blood. The New Testament clearly teaches in 2 Peter this: the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so I ask you tonight, and I'm quite serious about it, what kind of reception is Jesus Christ getting in your life? He comes to you in word and sacrament to heal you with his mercy and to forgive you by his grace. Now, in this present hour of your life, I warn you, do not blow off Jesus coming to you physically in his word and sacraments. His people Israel, for the most part, did. You remember that in the Old Testament, don't you? And then when Jesus came in the New Testament, most of the people of Israel blew Jesus off as well. And it didn't go well for them. And so now what about you? Do you really believe you can do the same with different consequences? Do you think that you're the only exception to the truth? Good luck with that. No wonder then that you fear the last day and try to avoid it with all of your might. But I tell you, you can't put off the Lord forever. He will come in glory on the last day. And only those who know Jesus through faith will be prepared to meet him and greet him with joy on Judgment Day. Stanza 4. Come, Lord Jesus, is the sustained cry of the waiting church as she suffers for confessing Jesus in a hostile world. The church must endure. And she does so from Christ's promise of salvation and salvation's bestowal already now in the word and sacrament where Christ actually reigns on the earth. Advent teaches all of us how to wait patiently and hopefully for the last day when Jesus comes in power and great might. Until then, we live by faith in his promises and not by sight. Until then, the misery of your sin still plagues you. You still sin, even though you don't want to. Until then, your eyes see change and decay and death in the world, and yes, even in your own body. You groan with all of creation as you wait to be delivered from this bondage of corruption. But your patient waiting is not a waste. It is a waiting that is full of life and hope because Jesus does not lie. He is trustworthy and he is true. Advent teaches us how to wait on Jesus who keeps his promises. And in that waiting, we learn how to pray again. Come then, O Lord Jesus, from our sins release us. Let us here confess thee, till in heaven we bless thee. On the last day, faith will give way to sight, and we will see with our eyes that everything that Jesus promised is absolutely true. Ah, what joy that will be. In the name of Jesus, amen.